We are discussing tefillah, and today we're going to talk about what you could argue is the heart of tefillah, or maybe you call it the soul of tefillah. And that's what we call kavana, kavanas halev, attention, consciousness, awareness, or focus. The word kavana means a lot of different things, but it's this state of mind, this awareness, this focus that draws us into the experience of tefillah, which we have defined before as bonding with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as creating a relationship with Hashem through our words. And so the Rambam tells us in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, based on a Medrash, the first halacha in the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah is that tefillah is rooted in our intent, our feelings, our experiences, our heart. Because the source of tefillah, the Rambam quotes, is based on a drasha from the pasuk "Avdo b'chol levavchem," to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of our heart. So our lev, the avodas halev of tefillah, is at the center of the experience. There's an old adage that tefillah without kavana is like a guf without a neshama. It's like a body without a soul. Imagine you had, lying on a table, a lifeless collection of appendages. So you had a body, but that body wouldn't get up off the table. It wouldn't move. It wasn't animated in any way. And so at the heart of our tefillah experience is the notion of kavanas halev, of intention, of focus. And perhaps because of this nature, many of us find that this is one of the most difficult aspects of tefillah. You know, saying the words is one thing, but thinking about the words, being attentive to the words, being focused and present, it's not easy. But in a certain sense, that's really what it's about. Because just reciting words, those tefillos are not connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, on some level, there's a story that the Baal Shem HaKadosh went with his chassidim. They went once to a particular town, as they oft did, and they found a shul, and they went into Davin Mincha. So the Rebbe, the Baal Shem HaKadosh, the leader of his flock, he was about to go into the shul, and Davin Mincha with his chassidim, they had a minyan together, and he wouldn't go in. He started to open the door, he looked inside, he couldn't go in. So the chassidim said, Rebbe, why are we not going into Davin? So the Baal Shem HaKadosh said, he says, because it's too crowded in there. It's too crowded. There's no room. We can't push our way in there. So the chassidim said, Rebbe, it's empty. What do you mean it's too crowded? So the Baal Shem HaKadosh says, he says, unfortunately, you know, when people recite words, when they say words, but there's no connection, there's no feeling, there's no intention, they're just ripping off the words without any thought, then the tefillahs, it's like they don't have wings. They don't fly up, so to speak, to the heavens. They don't travel to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So this room is just packed with prayers that never went anywhere. It's too crowded. There's no room for us. Now, it's important to understand that, yes, and Rabbi Nachman of Breslov talks about the importance of saying the words even when we're not in the mood, even when we're not focused. There is great importance in just saying the words. Each of these words that comes back to us from the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, from the great sages of the second Beis HaMikdash, from the time of the Mishnah, from the time of the Gemara, some of them from the Gaonic period, they have great spiritual meaning, and it's important to say them, and there's value in saying them even when we're not paying attention. So let's not give up that part of our davening. On the other hand, when we think about priorities, the priority is about the intention. That's why there's a principle in Shulchan Aruch that says, Tov ma'at bekavana. It's better to say fewer words and really think about them, meditate on them, be in the present. Mehar be'shalo bekavana, than a lot without kavana. So yes, we're going to try to say the words, and the words themselves have incredible spiritual power, But the Iker is the Kavana. My Rebbe, Rav Herschel Schechter in YU, he notes that he observed to us, to the students, that on Mondays and Thursdays, you know, there's a very long Tachanun. He only says one third of Tachanun. I can tell you from personal experience that the davening in the YU based Medrash is intractably long. And yet, Rav Schechter has so much Kavana and so much intention that he actually says all the words with Kavana. So he told us that even though they take a long time, it's too fast for him. So on Monday, he says the first third of Uhu Rachum. On Thursday, he says the next third of Uhu Rachum. And on the following Monday, he says the last third. And it goes in a sequence because he can't say all the words. Because he told us as students, he says, Tov ma'at bekavana mehar b'shalo bekavana. Because the kavana is the main thing. And this is why, from a halachic standpoint, just being focused on being present is so important. Right? We mentioned earlier, for those who are just joining us, that there are different strata of kavana. Right? There's the awareness of standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being bonded with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's the awareness of the words that we're saying, the Pirush HaMilos, the meaning of the words that we're saying. There are deeper Kabbalistic meanings. There are lots of different elements of this. But at its core is just the focus. Taking a few moments to be present and to be focused. Sometimes our Kavanas Halev, our desire to be present and to really connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means that we should actually daven really fast. Some people, their Kavanas Halev comes from a fast davening. You know, there was a Chassidish Maisa, there was a parable, an analogy that was once given by one of the great Hasidic masters who used to daven very quickly. So he says, you know why I daven quickly? Imagine you were riding in a horse-drawn cart. You're riding in the cart and there's a bandit who's chasing after you and you're pushing the horse to go faster and faster so you can get home before that bandit catches you. So he says, when I start Shemona Esrei, I have a Yetzer Hara chasing me to get distracted with a thousand things. So I push the horse, I daven, I say all the words really fast so I can chop a rein, a shtickle, kavana, a little focus. And that's why I actually daven really fast. Reb Lev Yitzchak of Bardichev once saw a simple Jew, and he was standing in the back of the shul with his eyes closed, and he was swaying gently, and he was mumbling, muttering words. You hear this? Baruch Shem, Hallelujah, like something like to that extent. So Reb Lev Yitzchak came over to the man and he said to him, Reb Yid, what are you saying? I don't really understand the words. So the man said to Reb Lev Yitzchak, which he loved because he was the great defender of Israel, he says, I'm davening. I'm davening the words to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Reb Lev Yitzchak says, but I don't really understand those words. So the man says to Reb Lev Yitzchak, he says, because you're not my father. Do you know a little child? I recently was at a bris, so there are a bunch of little kids there. So one little kid is babbling away, and the father looks down at the child and says, oh, I'll get it for you. I'm thinking to myself, what did the kid say? The answer is, because I'm not the kid's father, so I don't understand what he says. But a child who mumbles, his parent could understand him. So Reb Lev Yitzchak said to the Rebbeinu Shlom, he turns to heaven. After listening to this man, he says, oh, how beautiful are your children. Ribbono Shel Olam, look at these wonderful Jews that even though they're mumbling the davening, it's because they know that you're listening, because the kavana is the ikar. So on the one hand, kavana is the most important thing, and that means that sometimes maybe we daven quickly, or with our kavana, maybe we don't enunciate all the words. On the other hand, maybe an ideal level of kavana is the opposite, is to be slow. And so you'll find different approaches. The kavana of Pirush HaMilos, of understanding what it is that we're saying. And there is a teaching of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, it's quoted in the Sichos Haran. His student, Rabbi Nassan Breslover, he said that Rabbi Nachman, he told the students not to worry about the fancy, high-level kavanas, the Kabbalistic intentions. You know what you should just think about? The plain meaning of the words. In Sichas Aran, I'll read from the English translation. Rabbi Nachman said, Rabbi Nachman had told many of his disciples to study the Kabbalistic writings of the Ari, but even these individuals were advised not to follow the Kabbalistic devotions found in these works. Rabbi Nachman said that perfect prayer consists of keeping in mind the plain meaning of the words. Devotion is concentrating on the meaning of the words and listening to them very carefully. Just focusing on the words. So, number one, kavana is essential. At least the basic kavana, the awareness that we're bound together and that we're connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes kavana means we daven more quickly. Sometimes kavana means we daven more slowly. We focus on the Pirush HaMilos. But the challenge is that for us, at least for many of us, kavana is the most difficult part of davening, precisely because, number one, we repeat the same words every day. So oftentimes, instead of creating an environment for attention, the same words actually become a rote prescription. And we could argue that in today's day and age, kavana has become more challenging than ever. Now, there's a fascinating author who does a lot of research on on the way people think. His name is Nicholas Carr. So he has a ha'ara here. He says, the problem today is not that we multitask. We've always multitasked. The problem is that we're always in multitasking mode. The natural busyness of our lives is being amplified by the networked gadgets that constantly send us messages and alerts, bombard us with other pieces of important and trivial information, and generally interrupt the train of our thought. This is the issue, says Nicholas Carr. So today, tefillah, which is about kavanas halev, it's about focus, it's about intentionality, is difficult because our mind is so, it's so scattered. So how do we tackle this challenge in an age where, you know, my jacket is buzzing all the time, my pockets are buzzing, I'm thinking about 500 things at the same time because I'm accustomed to being in, as Carr says, multitasking mode. So what do I need to do? So Dr. Twersky, Abraham J. Twersky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he quotes a Maisa. The problem is that this Maisa is a great Maisa for Tzadikim. It's challenging for us. Because a chassid once came to the Heligam as Richard Magid for a bracha that he shouldn't wander during davening. Because, you know, it's difficult. We all have distractions during davening. The Talmud Yerushalmi already describes that the Amoraim, the greatest giants of spiritual history, also had its trouble focusing. So this chassid came to the Mizritcher Magid, and the Mizritcher Magid said, you know, you should really go speak to Rev Zev of Zhitomir for a mahalach, for an approach to deal with this. So the chassid traveled to Zhitomir, and he knocked on the door of Rev Zev, but it was the evening already, and there was no response. So he kept knocking. No one answered. He knocked on the back door. No response. He knocked on the shutters. No answer. It was mamish stone silent. So he sat down in the doorway, and he fell asleep. And in the morning, the Heliger Reb Zev opened the door, welcomed him in, and he said to him, "Would you like a hot drink?" The man said, "Yeah, mamish cold." So he sits him down. He has a hot drink, and finally, Reb Zev says to the man, "Did you find the solution to your problem?" The man says, what are you talking about, Rebbe? So Reb Zev said, he said, you tried to get into my house last night. You tried the bolt, the front door, the back door, the windows, but I didn't let you in because I am the master of my house. And I don't let anybody get in who I don't let in. He said to the man, you are the master of your mind. You can refuse entry to anybody you don't wish to let in. So for some people, that's a mahalach. But Dr. Twersky points out that maybe this is only shayach to the great tzaddikim. But the truth is that maybe we're not at that level of Rav Zev that he's describing. But on our own level, we can, if we're focused on it, if we're intentional about it, we can find ways to be the masters of our own mind. And this is why, for many people, the idea of meditation, and this is probably what the Gemara says in Brachos, that the Chassidim v'Anshei Maaser were Shoam Sha'achas. They would take a moment, an hour before davening, to focus themselves, to be present. What is the definition of meditation? So Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan has a very important book. He describes the difference between meditation and tefillah in many ways in this book, but it's an amazing, a very important book called Jewish Meditation. And the definition of meditation is just controlling your mind. That's what meditation is. And that's why meditation is very much related to kavana b'tefillah. Because a person who controls their mind in general through meditative exercises also controls the thoughts to some degree of what comes in and out. And what's amazing about meditation is, I read in a different book, it's a big klal in meditation, is that when strange thoughts come in, you don't try to battle them. This is what Dr. Tversky talks about, is that a mistake in trying to eliminate what he calls intrusive thoughts is attempting to push them away. He says it's much like compressing a coiled spring. So this is what many books on meditation point out, is that a way to deal with these thoughts is, instead of trying to battle them out of your mind, you just let them pass and you come right back to your meditative state. You come back to what you're thinking about. You don't get hung up on them, you just let them pass. So, if we think about tefillah as a space of kavanas halev, maybe what we need to do is take a moment, like the Chassidim HaRishonim, and put ourselves in the mental space to daven. To take a moment, and maybe this was the purpose of Pesukei Zimra, but it's difficult for us, to take a moment to pause. Even if we have only 10 minutes to daven, but to take 1 minute of those 10 minutes to slow down and be present. To let the rest of the thoughts drift out of our mind and to just be present with the Rabbono Shel Olam. And then we can use our imaginative qualities. Rabbi Yehoshua Karsh, my Rebbe in meditation, so he once told me, he once mentioned that he sometimes uses a meditative, imaginative techniques when he starts Shemon Esrei. He imagines himself standing before a palace with a tall, beautiful set of gates and someone calling his name and them opening the gates. This, he says, helps get him into a frame of mind of thinking that he's going to walk into the king. And this is probably what the Achronim and many commentaries in the Shulchan Aruch point out is the goal of standing before the Rebbe Shalom, that when you start Shemon Esrei, you imagine that you're standing in the Beis HaMikdash. So for those of us who have been to the Kotel, you could imagine, fixate your mind on one stone. One stone next to the Kotel. This is where I am at that point. And you develop a habit, a practice, that when I say Hashem Svasai Tiftach, this is what I start thinking about. So when we talk about Kavanas Halev, one step in this direction, in this process, is controlling our mind, is being focused, is using our imagination to help us focus our thoughts on the experience of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and on the words that we're about to say. That's step number one. Maybe a second approach to this is what Dr. Tversky talks about in his Sefer on Tefillah, and that is coming back to the reminder, to the awareness of the value of Tefillah. In the sense that, obviously, on the highest level, Tefillah is not about asking for stuff that we need, but ultimately, as we talked about last time, to receive the blessings, the brachas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need to open the gates. And we do that by asking, by connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to realize how crucial it is that we daven, those of us who have had struggles in our life, whether it's been with health of our own health or health of the people in our immediate circle, family members, loved ones, friends, that bracha of health comes through opening the gates of goodness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It comes through davening. That's the Ikar Avoda. A person, Dr. Tversky says, and this is from a psychiatrist, a person who knew the workings of the mind, a person who realizes how valuable something is, and we've experienced this probably many of us intuitively, all of a sudden that becomes occupying their mental space. He says, when one's very life is at stake, nothing else has importance. This is how we should value our bonding with God. So Mahalach number one in Kavanas Halev is creating the meditative space, the focus, to be present, slow down, think of what is happening right now of our conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do these words mean? That's number one. Number two, let's think about how this is the sustenance of our entire life. The reason we have, says the Kuzari, Shachris Mincha Mariv, is because we have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and for some of us, like me, we have multiple snacks also, which is why we probably have to do as Bodidus. You don't just eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you also have a snack in between, you make sometimes a little extra. To realize that that's what gets us from one day to the next is the tefillah, to focus on the value, on the importance of this. This is Dr. Twersky's Mahalach. Number three, a third approach, perhaps, in the realm of Kavanas Halev, in the avoda of developing our attentiveness, the attunement of our heart, is to come back to the words. To create habits around words. Some of you recall, I've mentioned this book in the past, it's a really interesting book, has a lot of great eitzes, called Atomic Habits. So, Atomic Habits, the yesod of the book, is about how small, tiny, little incremental habits can change our life. Well, if we introduce atomic habits on the words, this can make a huge difference. This is one of the big things that Rabbi Nachman teaches, Rabbi Nassen quotes, about the importance of putting energy into the words. And therefore, even if we're not in the mood, but we come back to those words and the words can help us, maybe we need to create a set of words that we're going to focus on a given week. We know that is the most important pasuk in all of Psukei Zimra. So maybe on a given week, we're going to say to ourselves, this week, I'm just going to think about Poseach Es Yodecha. I'm going to say lots of words as much as I can, but I'm going to come back to these words. And these words are going to be my focus for this week, or for this Chodesh, for this month, or for this Tekufa, whatever it is. And Dafka takes something tiny. That's the yesod of atomic habits. You take something too big, it's not going to work. Maybe you decide you're going to put your finger on one bracha of Shmon Esrei a day. Not more, just one. But coming back to those words, by putting our fingers on the words, by creating attention to the words, Rabbi Nachman says that people who said that prayer must come of itself without being forced. Rabbi Nachman said they're wrong, that sometimes that you must do everything in your power to force yourself. Another time, Rabbi Nachman spoke of prayer, saying that true devotion is the binding of thought and word. If you listen carefully to your own words, strength will enter your prayers by itself. Come back to the words. Pick a few words. And if we start with those words, maybe that can help us generate the Kavanas Halev. So approach number one was, let's use our mind, our imagination, our focus, our intention, our meditation. Approach number two is, let's draw upon the value of tefillah. Let's emphasize in our mind the importance, the crucial nature of tefillah. Approach number three is, let's start with the opposite. Pick a few words and come back to them over and over. And maybe approach number four is to create your own personal experience of tefillah. Maybe you create your own nigun as part of your tefillah. Maybe you create a movement. So for example, maybe you start Shmon Esrei, one way to maybe approach it is you say Baruch Atah. So maybe you accustom yourself to a certain gesture. So for example, maybe, and this is something that I experimented with over different times, is that when we conclude the first bracha, we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ozer U'Moshia U'Magin. Ozer means he helps. So I experimented with this for a while, and it was actually very helpful. That I said, when I said the word Ozer, I would move my hands like this, that Hashem is kind of lifting me up. And then Moshia, which means to save, I would move my hands down as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was rescuing me from falling down, and then Magin, put my hands out like he's protecting me. Melech Ozer U'Moshia U'Magin. And you get into that physical expression. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch. I just made it up. It could be it's totally wrong. But it enabled me to focus my attention on a movement that was going to express the focus of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing for me. Or maybe you have a particular niggun, a song, a tune that maybe either you grew up with or you heard recently, and you say, you know what? I'm going to attach this niggun to this bracha every day. Maybe I'm going to sing Moda Ani. It's going to be bringing me back to my childhood. Maybe I'm going to sing Adon Olam in a particular way. The idea of kavana coming from making your own tefillah an experience. Obviously, part of kavana comes from davening in a place where people are not talking so that you can focus. Davening in a mokum kavua. Davening in a place where other people may be singing or a place that's a tour that you enjoy. But perhaps kavanas halev can also come in your own dining room. You have your own niggun that you like to sing. That's where your kavana comes from. Nechama, she's always told me over the years that she grew up with a particular beautiful nusach tefillah in her shul for Yom Noraim. So I don't know how many people sit near her. I don't think it's loud enough for you to hear. But she, every year, Yom Noraim, certain parts of davening, she always tells me afterwards at our suda at lunch, yeah, it was beautiful davening. I was singing this piece of davening to what I grew up with. It doesn't matter whether the chazan, you know, I might be the chazan, doesn't matter. My nigunim, that's not the issue. She has her own nigunim. For Yom Noraim, these are the nigunim that she comes back to. They become an emotional anchor to create kavanas halev, to create that focus. So perhaps these are four different practical approaches, the how to get to the deep what, which is what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to accomplish that kavanas halev, that awareness, that focus, which is the ikar of tefillah. It's the neshama of the tefillah. It's important halachically. Some people are going to do that by davening quicker. Some people are going to do it by davening slower. Obviously, the basic level is the awareness of being there, but the pirush hamilos is, of course, the goal. And how do we get rid of these random thoughts? How do we focus ourselves for a few minutes? It's obviously very difficult, and it's been difficult from time immemorial. But if, number one, we create that meditation that we can control our mind and create some space just to be present, if we can focus on the value, the importance of tefillah, of what we're doing, if we come back to the words and have the words help create the kavana for us, and we create our own experience in tefillah, hopefully these different approaches can give us avenues to nurture the capacity that we all have within ourselves. We all can do this. It's not easy, but we can touch deep down that kavanas halev that's within each one of us. That's the connection, the inner bonding that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.